Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Over the next 2 years, and under the oppressive apartheid regime, black society in South Africa became a pressure cooker of tension. The 1976 student protests were officially protesting Afrikaans as a language, but the language was just one aspect of the Bantu education enforced by the apartheid regime. The student protests of 1976 are sometimes all grouped under the term Soweto Uprising. In reality, the student protests happened across the country. Some communities saw more violent reaction from the apartheid police than in other areas. In Alexandra, police opened fire on protesting youth on the 18th of June, where 22 young people were killed, 45 were injured. Join us this morning as we relive the history and paying tribute to the survivors through their testimony and honor those who were killed for freedom.
It is us who have put South Africa in the road correctly for freedom.
This is Community Connect, commemorating the Alex Student Massacre of 1976.
Welcome back. It is 2 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, in case you have just joined in. Welcome to it. It's the Youth Month, and of course, we are having a youthful Sunday right here on Alex FM, 89.1 FM, and of course, coming side by side with Kai FM. And of course, if you would like to engage with us, whatever, that's in your mind, you can give us a tinkle. Our tinkle number, it's 011-4401396. That's our magic studio number if you'd like to engage with us on Alex FM. And of course, our WhatsApp number, it is indeed 068-212-9281. That's our WhatsApp number. Whatever that's on your mind, whatever that you'd like to share with us, what happened, where were you on that faithful morning on June 16, 17, 18. Still talking to Jimmy Masingi from the Japi Vilankula Family Trust, as you've heard him saying, Japi Vilankula is the first victim to be shot in Alex in 1976, June 18. So that history was not well documented, and I'm sure we are noting it all down. Japi Vilankula was the first victim to be shot in Alex in 1976, June 18. Still on that note, Jimmy, talking about Japi Vilankula being the first victim to be shot, he was a student leader of the time. So now take us through, how was he shot and where was he shot at by the security branch police by then in June 18, 1976?
He was shot when they were about to go out of Alex at the place where is Mr. Twala's place now
at Second Avenue. Okay,
that's where they met the apartheid regime police.
Yeah,
then he got shot there. Then when I got history from those who were there. Like Dakira Metsi, they are saying even the police they even captured his body for about 3 to 4 days.
Wow.
Didn't want to release the body, so that what made us to believe that he was the first to be shot. If he was not, why the police were keeping his body?
Yeah, what would the point be?
It's because they saw that this is the leader of this group. He's the one who was leading at the upfront.
One gets the sense that the police were completely floundering at this point when we're hearing these testimonies.
Yeah.
That it was almost came like they were so disconnected from what was actually going on the ground that they were shocked by what was happening.
Yeah, you're quite right, Howard, because you must also understand by then they were completely taken aback by the resistance of the generation of the resistance of that. And of course, also remember they were under pressure as well.
Sure.
That you need to orchestrate, make sure that these people are suppressed. And by then, that's when the rising, the spirit of the black power came into being. Mind you, the students of 1976, I would say today and to them, I salute them.
Yeah.
I respect them, because this was the brave generation of 1976 who took up the whole military might of the security system by then, with no ammunition, no guns, nothing, with just stones.
But I'll tell you
fighting
something
for
so
the
interesting.
Book.
As I'm listening to these stories, I'm thinking that the downfall of the apartheid government and police was that they believed their own propaganda. What am I saying by that?
Absolutely.
Is that if you convince yourselves that the other people are lesser people, they are not able to achieve anything. So then eventually you convince yourself that that's the truth. Of course you're going to be surprised when all of a sudden you get this reaction because you didn't give them the credit for it. So almost as though they believed their own marketing.
Yeah.
And by doing so, that was their downfall.
And you should also understand that the propaganda that you're talking about, it was a quite well-orchestrated propaganda to keep the government of the time, the National Party, into power.
Mm-hmm.
And whether by force or by hook, whatever. And going back to the fateful day of June 18th, Howard, as Jimmy was alluding, that Jabi is the first victim to be shot. And on that day, it was reported that 22 people were killed and 45 were seriously injured on that fateful day. That's June the 18th.
I mean, that must have
That's been, in Alex.
If you think about what must have gone on for that amount of people to be killed and injured, that's a massacre. That is full extent of firepower being used against people that are effectively unarmed.
Yeah. You see, the other truth of the matter, even other people are still talking about it today, is about the TRC, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Some people would ask the question, said, has the Truth Commission, has it done enough? Have people come out to say, we are sorry for what really happened? You know, it was not us, but we were instructed to do that.
Mm.
You know, we were under the impression that, you know, we were protecting the so-called folk and other stuff.
Mm.
I mean,
mm.
that's part of the propaganda that was
of
happening.
Course.
But on that note, still talking to Jimmy, the family trust board member of the Jabi Vilankula Trust. Now, Jimmy, you said Jabi was shot on the day, the 18th of June, and then his body was kept for quite a number of days by the security branch police of the time.
Yes.
So it's something that was not documented even today.
Yes.
To the generation of today, Jimmy, how would you say what was Jabi Vilankula fighting for? So that they can understand what was Jabi Vilankula fighting for? Because some today understand a little bit that the generation of 1976 fought for our education system, fought for us to have a better education today. Some would say, well, yeah, here we are. It's not yet a war for us. But to the generation of Alex, who do not know Jabi, how would you convey the message to them with what was Jabi fighting for that they're enjoying today?
Jabi was fighting for the freedom of the kids of Alex in terms of education. That's why our trust is an educational trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to educate.
Elevate and educate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why we want to do. But maybe if I can say this, what we are encountering as the trust is the political interference, and which I think it's one of the issues which delays, you know, the issue of Jabi Vilankula to be where it's supposed to be.
So tell us about that. What political interference?
You know, political interference, when it comes to Jabi on 1976, on the 18th, just ask yourself, Jabi died as the first victim, but look at Hector Peterson in Soweto. Hector Peterson, it was just a kid who was coming back from school.
Right.
Not taking anything away from Hector.
Of course.
What I'm trying to say is, the people...
So why aren't we celebrating the very people who gave their lives for this? I mean, not to say Hector Peterson didn't, but it was sort of the wrong place at the wrong time versus somebody who had committed themselves knowingly to a cause, to the
look court. At the picture of Japi. We are having a picture of Japi before he died when he confronted the police. You can see he was having a dustbin lid and a stone in his hand confronting the police.
Wow.
But that particular person, that particular person who was fighting his life, who was putting his life on the line, today he's not celebrated. You know, we are saying as Japi Velankulu, when are we celebrating Japi? We can't even have a street in Alexander which is named
that
after Japi.
That is unbelievable.
We can't even have...
Important and so interesting. I'm going to stop you there because we've got a clip that we wanted to play. We'll be back with you right after this.
This is how it was reported last week by John Fielding of the This Week team for British Television. The South African Prime Minister John Vorster still says after hundreds have died in the past 3 months, there is no crisis.
This is Community Connect with Alex FM and Chai FM. One community, one soul.
It's 11 minutes past the hour of 10. We are connecting to community. I'm Howard Feldman from Chai FM, joined as well by Mbanjwa and from Alex FM. And we're talking to Jimmy Masingi about the Japi Vilankulu Trust, the first person to be killed in the Alex massacre. So how do we change that? Jimmy, how do we change the focus from everything that we've always been taught, and that is so comfortable because we just know, you know, we have this information, but actually what went on the ground specifically in Alex is real, it's important, and it's the stories that have to be told.
You know, our question is who erected the tombstone of Hector Peterson in Soweto? Isn't our government? Who made the place where Hector died an heritage site? Can't we at least have that as Alexander or as Japi Vilankulu Trust?
Absolutely.
That's what we are asking. Can't we at least have that? So that also maybe we can have a tourist attraction, you know? You bring tourists to Alex.
And actually educate ourselves and our children.
Even ourselves.
Yeah,
even someone when he passed. You know, in Soweto when you pass, even if you don't know Hector, but when you pass, you see that monument, you'll ask what is happening there. Then
absolutely.
You'll find out what is happening. But in Alexander, Japi died there. Nothing happens where Japi died. We don't even have a statue. You know, you go to Alex schools. When you open, when you enter the principal's offices, the big picture you find on the wall there is Hector Peterson's picture in Alexander.
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite very sad what Jimmy is alluding. I must really say it's quite a very, 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 very sad story.
It really is.
Apart from Japi Vilankulu being celebrated, as I've said earlier on, Howard, that the history has favored the winners. As Jimmy has said, the government should be the one that is coming to the party to say, let's honor all our struggle heroes and the heroines. Because, I will tell you why, Howard, because this was a collective effort. It was just not only one movement that brought about this liberation. It was a collective effort whereby many, many people ultimately sacrificed and laid their lives. Sacrifice and lay their lives to bring about this democracy that we are enjoying today. Even in Soweto, as we speak now, Jimmy has spoken about a statue of Japi Vilankulu. Yet the very same story that goes to Soweto.
Absolutely.
We don't have a statue. There's no statue there in Soweto of Tsietsi Mashinini. There is no school in Soweto that is renamed after Tsietsi Mashinini. There is even not the tallest road in Soweto, which we expected. The Porches Room Old Soweto Road is not even renamed after Tsigetsi. Here alone, there's university in Soweto, is not hardly even renamed after Tsigetsi. Same applies, we've got many people who sacrifice and pay the ultimate price to lay their lives to bring about this democracy that we are enjoying today, but they were never, never acknowledged, and they were never celebrated. But least not to forget that this was a collective effort.
Absolutely.
Many people from different walks of life
sacrificed
paid with their same life. Same applies when we go back to 1976 uprising. There were people there, as the previous speaker has spoken, that, I mean, it was a mixed bag of people coming together to fight this system. I'm talking about bystanders, teachers, ordinary people, nurses, teachers, parents. They were part of the struggle. It was just not about certain people thinking that, you know, this is us. It was a collective effort, as I said, that many people have paid and sacrificed with their lives to bring about this democracy. So the government should have said, look, let's do this collectively. Because to bring about this democracy, it was collectively. So, as I said earlier on, it's unfortunately that history today favors the winners. It's not well documented. Here's a man, Jabi Vilankula, who was a student in Alex, but is not widely celebrated. Instead, we understand why people are doing it, because they want to elevate themselves.
Absolutely.
To think that they are the ones.
It's political.
So as Jimmy has said it, well put, well placed. I think it's one of those things. 16 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, and of course, if you'd like to join us on this discussion, you're more than welcome to give us a tinkle. Our studio number, our magic studio number in Alex is 011-440-1396, and of course, you can also WhatsApp our messages on 0682129281, and also, you can join us, connect with us, stream with us on www.lxfm.co.za, and of course, we are still together with Howard Feldman of Kai FM, coming side by side all the way till 12. It's a soulful, youthful Sunday.
It is 10:17. Joseph Kumapi says, Howard, listening to the dual broadcast, vital and grateful for the organizers. I fully agree with your co-host. And Joseph also saying, a chappy needs to be recognized. Tsetsi Mashimini as well. Absolutely. At 11:45, we are going to be asking you to stop what you're doing and stand and observe a moment of silence as we read and honor those that died in the Alex massacre. It is 10:17. This is a dual broadcast between Alex FM and Chai FM. We're taking a look at what happened back in June 1976. Joining us right now is Linda Twala. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm okay, brother.
Very, very good. Thank you.
Good morning to you, Mnyamande.
Morning.
How are you, Mnyamande?
I'm okay, sir, and you?
Asibonge, Mnyamande Mkhulu. Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
So we are taking a look back at 1976, and we're trying to paint a picture of what happened over these few fateful days in Alex. And how would you describe this period of protest, of action, and of drive?
Are you talking about 1976?
Yes, Bob.
Oh yes, many children died. In Alexander, 45 children died. And during our day, we'd never dare see somebody smoking or drinking liquor. But then I still say, 28 years down the line, I feel that we are not yet free. We haven't served our community the way we wanted to. For instance, the young church that died, like Jabi Vilankulu, we needed to have a scroll of honor in Alexandria. Not only for Jabi Vilankulu, all the others, like Sipoma Zimbel. I'm just talking about 1976 for now. Now, what I'm trying to say is that if we were to honor these children by building a scroll of honor, or let's say next to my property, we put maybe a statue of Tapi Vilankulu, who died in 1976. And others would follow in the scroll of honor. And I'm still prepared to be part of that if we were to be asked to help. Like, if I may make an example, I'd like to build a house for the lady staying in Mandela's house. But again, if we politicize this like we did before, when I wanted to put up a house for that lady, our own comrades went behind me and said, you're sitting on millions. Even now, there are no millions. But what I'm trying to say now is to encourage our youth to stay away from drugs, because our country is raised by drugs. We have taken the betting for Mandela, we ran with it. Now, who's going to take it from us? I don't know. Because if I were to drive around with you in Alexander, you'd be shocked.
Why do you think that is? Since 1976, but since 1994.
Can you speak a little louder?
Yeah, sure.
You know,
has
an old man.
Has it doesn't sound like it, certainly. But has Alex been neglected since 1994?
Yes, it has been neglected because we are more than a million in a square mile. And yet across the road, I'm sure you won't even find 500 people. Now, we need land. If, in honor of all our fallen heroes, we were to be given land like Frankenwald, Limbo Park. Now, unfortunately, it seems to me not that I'm discriminating. It seems to me that Indians are being favored, because we now have a Muslim state in Alexander, I mean, in Limbo Park. And we now have a Holy Land in whatever. Now, where are we? We want Frankenwald. And our own guys, they are busy wanting to put up expensive houses. In Alexander, I deal with senior citizens. Senior citizens, disabled persons, unmarried mothers, those that are mentally challenged, and of course, the ones that have drowned themselves in drugs. Now, who is going to help these people if they were to pay 5,000 and they can't? If we were to be given a chance and build the houses like the houses that we have built through Habitat for Humanity, our houses are stronger than the RTP houses. I don't know who will ever listen to us. I still wish you could just drive around with us. Maybe we could hear better things, unlike, you know, talking over the radio. Because I'm talking about the children that were killed in 1976, of which we were part of that. And as it is, I tried to put up 21 tombstones. And all those children need to be recognized. And again, the last tombstone that they put up was for Sipho Mavimbe.
So have when we failed the them? Have we failed the memory?
Hello?
Have we failed the memory of those who gave with their lives and sacrificed in 1976?
Have we let them? 1976, because in 1986, things were tough during the Six-Day War.
Okay.
That's when my house was bombed by police, when they come to assassinate me.
Now, coming back to the question, Umbuzo, Baba Uchi, the 47 people that you talked about, the 47 people that died in 1976, June 18, what was my fellow co-host asking, Uchi, were they properly honored? Hey, were they being celebrated? The 45 people that we are
talking about. They were not honored.
Even up till today.
Up till today, they are not honored. We only see a statue of Vincent Shabalala in London. I mean, there are many children that died. And we haven't talked about the ones that we went to search in exile, the ones that died in exile. We're still talking about the ones that died in 1976.
And we have to change that. And we have to change it, I think, before it's too late. Because once we move so far away from 1976, it almost becomes too late to do it. We still have the opportunity now, don't we, to change that and to bring people back into history that are actually very relevant to history, to our own history, surely.
You know, if really we can try and discuss, make sure that when we discuss about 1976, let us not forget again our fallen heroes that died in exile. We also have to recognize them and honor them. Yeah. So far, I'm sure I'm the only one who did something for the ones that were in exile. I so wish if Monty was around you, if you guys could make it a point, that as time goes on, let's meet and sit around the table. Maybe we can do wonderful things for all our fallen heroes. Not only Chappie Vilayo, not only Peterson.
And that's what today is about.
Yeah.
Taking that first step.
That's the problem we have in Alex. Everything goes to Soweto.
Yeah.
And yet, Alexander is mother of all the things, of all the townships. And mother of all the continents. This is where everything started those years.
Yeah, there you have it.
Absolutely.
There's a paper that I'll show you one day where everything started. Even though now Soweto is in the limelight, we fought for this freedom.
Mm.
Even though I'm extremely disappointed because why if these guys are fighting among themselves up there, who's suffering? The people at grassroots level. Please try and make the point that you visit and let's drive around on it.
Absolutely.
Then you get
a
better story.
Absolutely.
And we would love to hear from you. You can WhatsApp either radio station. You can WhatsApp us on 0682129281, or you can telegram us at Chai FM on 0618951019. This is a joint broadcast, and the very thing that we're talking about is trying to create awareness between for this incredibly important time.
I can be so grateful if you can email me or WhatsApp maybe the email so that we can write down our grievances and things that we'd like to see happening before we pass on, because we are aging now and we are just hoping that things are going to go our way.
No, that's quite absolutely, Baba. Thank you very much,
thank
Baba.
You.
Thank you, Baba, for your time. And
thank you, and God bless.
Same
God
to bless. You, Baba. There you have it, Howard. Mr. Linda Twala is a senior citizen, 57 years of community work.
Amazing.
Doing wonders. He's a philanthropist, community leader, community builder, a man who has walked the talk. He has said it all.
And passionate.
Passionate. For 57 years, being passionate to serve God's children. You know, people were going to bed in an empty stomach for 3 days. They will come to the old man and said, you know, this is how life is.
Wow.
So 57 years, you have heard him. It's an open invitation.
Absolutely.
Kai. Let's tour Alex and find out more.
I think that's
There's so much content, there's so much history, there's so much to be told in Alex. So there you have it. That's Mr. Linda Twala there. Thank you so much, Babu Twala. Thank you, Mnyamande, for coming through. Of course, you can engage with us, still taking more of your WhatsApp messages. You can give us a shout. Our studio number, magic number, is 011. That's our Johannesburg code. And the number is 440-1396. And of course, 0682129281. You can also telegram us on our WhatsApp number. Montu Mbanjwa is my name, and I'm with Howard Feldman all the way till 12 midday.
The Minister of Justice, James Kruger, has given this warning.
Agitators who do not cease their activities immediately will be prevented from continuing with it by being placed in detention in terms of the Internal Security Acts. Strong police units will be on hand to deal with any person who may try to cause a disturbance on Tuesday or on any other day. These units will have instructions to protect law-abiding citizens and property at all costs, and to do so with all the means at their disposal.
Why has there been such a reaction to what seemed to be a purely educational decision about the use of Afrikaans in schools? The government blames agitators, who they say stir up trouble among the non-white people, most of whom just want to live their lives in peace. Meetings are often prohibited.
This gathering is prohibited by the minister. You are now ordered to disperse, and you must depart from this place of gathering immediately.
The government blames foreign influence and interference, especially from black African states, the frontline states, Angola, Botswana, Zambia, Mozambique, and Tanzania. Above all, the South African government blames the influence of communism in Southern Africa. They claim the communists are inspired by the Soviet Union, that they interfere with black leaders and agitators and plot to overthrow white South Africa.
Community Connect. History, memory, society.
It is 10:33. I'm Howard Feldman, and this is a Community Connect. We are in a studio, both Chai FM and Alex FM, and we're talking about the incidents from 1976. Jenny, one of our listeners, says that Muntu. She says, isn't it a disgrace that to date not one person has been prosecuted after the TRC?
Absolutely, Howard. It's quite pretty sad, because even today, apart from what the listener is alluding,
yes,
there are many people who never bothered themselves to go to the Truth Commission to confess. Yeah. So, in other words, we would say it was like a wasteful expenditure of the Truthful Commission. But it was sad, because at least many families at least knew the truth. What happened? Who? What happened to their loved ones? Because many comrades, many activists disappeared. People died. People were buried in some unknown graves. Mm. So yet there were never people who came forth to say, we know what happened to your loved ones. So people were buried somewhere, you know, in unmarked graves.
They never got closure
till up to today. I mean, it's so painful that the Delhi department, Archbishop Desmond Tutu cried to say, I've never heard, I've never seen something like this.
So do you think it was the TRC too soon, or was it not extensive enough to really talk about those painful things?
I think the TRC, Howard, came very early.
Mm.
As I can say to you now, if someone asks the question and says, are we a nation yet? Not yet. So when you talk of the spirit of reconciliation, we should have reconciled first. But now the problem today, it seems like African people are the ones who are reconciling more than their white counterpart. They are the ones who are extending their olive branch to say, well, it's okay what happened. They don't have the... We've got a call on the line.
Mm,
okay,
yes.
Let's take another call on the line.
Yeah, Joseph Kamapa joins us this morning. Joseph, you were, in fact, messaging us earlier. Thanks for being...
Good morning.
...an active participant in the show. How are you?
Howard, good morning. How are you on a Sunday?
We are...
Very good. And yourself?
We're good.
Yes.
Very excited. I think the dictionary lacks the word to define my feeling or emotion at this moment. You know, your dual broadcast with Alex FM, for me, as a black person, unashamedly so, let me say,
mm-hmm.
I'm very, very proud of what you guys put together.
Thank you.
As the two stations.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
And as a astonished listener of yours in the weekdays, you know, you wake me up at 6 o'clock with dinner.
I'm glad I do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I wake you up in the morning. But Joseph, tell me...
Wake me up in the morning,
Joseph, what is your reaction to hearing these? Are you familiar with these stories? Is this something that you're aware of in terms of South African history?
It is, Howard, and like the previous speaker said, you know, it's heartbreaking that we are 29 years into democracy. It shouldn't be that as black people we should be talking about how is government not doing this. Because the problem is when they asked the White National Party to put an end to apartheid, and when Podesta was held in 1991 in December, was that there was going to be a better life for all. It was no longer going to be on the color basis, you know. So it is so heartbreaking that 29 years into democracy, in winter, you're getting stories on media of fires being raging black residential areas and black kids having been burnt and losing their lives in those. That is atrocious, heartbreaking, and embarrassing, I must say, under a black government. If you were in a white government, you'd be saying it's because of oppression, whites prefer their own. Under a black government, what do you say? And I always go back and say, you know, when God delivered the Jewish people from the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt, his reason was not that it should not be done. His reason was that so that my people can save me. In other words, he had a reason why he freed his people. He said, Jewish people, come out of Pharaoh's hand because now I have an objective for you. So in other words,
we're part of a greater, and all South Africans, that's what's really what you're saying. In 1976, yeah. 1994 onwards, we're part of a greater mission. It isn't just to have freedom and democracy so that we could drive cool cars, but it's actually so we could be part of a greater good. Joseph, I do need to end it there, unfortunately.
Just a second, Howard.
Yes, sir.
Myself, if you don't mind, to the Jewish family that raised me in my tertiary institution, the LGB, you know, alone there as the second-born son, but most of Daphna as the first-born, even though she's a daughter, Daphna received my gratitude, you know, and to Alon and to Daniel, those three kids to their mother, Brenda. Thanks very, very much to that LGB family that when I was at vet as a black and blind a student who was diagnosed, by the way, by a Jewish doctor, Dr. Seabrook.
Right.
They were my support up to this day.
That is amazing.
That's a good story, Joseph.
It is a great story.
That's a good story, man.
And that's exactly what we're doing today, is we're connecting communities.
Yeah.
And you've just given us a fantastic example of it. Joseph, thank you. And thank you for being a listener, and thank you for making the call to us this morning. We are joined at 10:39 by Kenneth Vickerman. We'll be back with him just after this.
As John Fielding put it to Tsetse, the student leader.
It's more than likely, Tsetse, that you're being described up and down the country at the moment as a communist.
There is no truth in that as far as I'm concerned. It is just that in South Africa, if you're not doing what the government expects you to do, then you are a communist, of course.
This is Community Connect, commemorating the Alex Student Massacre of 1976.
Leader.
Good.
It's 10:40. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
Welcome back. It is, of course, 10:40. It's Kai FM and Alex FM coming side by side all the way up until 12 midday. And, of course, our guest is Jimmy Masingi from the Jabi Vilankulu Trust before he bounced out of the studio. Jimmy, just quickly, can you kindly share with us your contact details of the Jabi Vilankulu Family Trust as to when people want to engage more and find more information, where do they find the Jabi Vilankulu Family Trust? As you said, it's an educational trust as well. So to many people out there who'd like to get in touch with the trust.
Yeah, maybe before I can give the details, I'd like to take this opportunity in closing and ask the government of the day to please come in hand, to come and help us in Alexander. There are few things we need to do for Jabi as the Jabi Vilankulu Trust. As I've alluded before, we need the Jabi Vilankulu statue. We need the Jabi Vilankulu, street or something which can be recognizable, which can show the people that we still remember Jabi. And we are also asking for political interference to please stop. When people want to come and help the trust, let them come and do so. But let them stop taking the advantage of wanting to take credit of using Jabi, but at the end of the day, they're not doing anything for Jabi. So we are saying, please come handy and help us. As Bab Twala said, Bab Twala has already given us permission to erect the statue of Jabi in his yard where Jabi died. So he already contributed. So we are waiting for the government to give us that, a hand going forward. But for anyone who need to understand, who wants to know what is Jabi Vilankulu, my call, you can call me on 3089. Let me repeat, 062-134-3089. You can call me there at any time. You need to know anything about Jabi, I'm there 24 hours. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Absolutely fantastic. It is 10:43, and joining us on the line this morning is Kenneth Vickerman. Kenneth, a very good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, sir, and good morning to the listeners.
Thank you very much, Kenny, for coming through and taking time to talk to us.
Kenneth, you were delivering newspapers at the time, in 1976.
That's correct, sir.
Tell us about this.
Can you come clear?
Yes, perfectly clear.
Yeah, take us through, Brakeni. Back in the days, you were on the thick and thin of things, delivering newspapers around the township. Where were you? Do you still remember what time was it? And how did the day end up?
Paint a picture.
Yeah, just give us a glim picture there. Paint the picture of the faithful day. Where were you? What time was it? You saw it all. Take us through, Brakeni.
It was very hectic that time because it was the upraising of our education, of our Afrikaans. And I was working for BNA before it became CNA, before it became Allied Publishing.
Yeah.
So it was very hectic. They didn't allow any company car or any vehicle to come within Alex. And being born and bred in Alex, right, it was a privilege for me to come into the location and have a talking point of newspapers where all the citizens in Alex will be able to read the news as it comes in on the news. And through the whole uproar, I was very, very busy. People were waiting queue as if they are going to town just for the truck to come over and deliver newspapers.
So it was obviously you weren't, I mean, the newspapers that you were delivering, obviously everything was so heavily censored that what you were seeing on the ground there, did it reflect what you were reading in the papers that you were delivering?
Yes, that's correct. Let me just indicate that I started from College Drive, which is Alex, up to Whitney.
Right.
That was my area, and I was very passionate to make sure that each and every Alexandrian or nearby citizen do receive newspaper on a daily basis. That was my passion.
Quite very interesting. Very interesting time. Now, Brakeni, just to add on that, being around, being the newspaper man, going all over the show delivering papers. After the June 1976, after that fateful day on the 18th, did your newspaper write the headlines? Did you ever get the story across to the editors of the day to say, look guys, I was caught up in this, this is where I was, and I saw it all. Did your newspaper catch the headlines?
No, nobody recognized Kenny. They were just excited to say, we are receiving daily news.
Yeah. Now, Brakeni, still on that note, to many people like my counterpart here, as we were speaking earlier before we went live, he said, to many people who do not know the symbol and the meaning of the word Black Power, because it was very, 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 very synonymous with the uprising. So how would you define the word Black Power, the meaning of Black Power by then? What was the objective of the word behind it, Black Power?
When we talk of Black Power, what I've realized in our time is that the leaders, the school children were very excited to say they are getting rid of Africa and want to do their mother language, which for me was a priority to say Afrikaans was an oppressive language where people did not understand. Even when we speak today, people can't read Afrikaans, can't understand Afrikaans.
Can I just interrupt you? It's a question that's been bothering me throughout this. Not bothering me, and I'm interested in my co-host's answer as well.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase it. If they didn't push the Afrikaans agenda for a little bit longer, do you think that something else would have caused this, or would the whole of this student protest uprising push towards equality, would it have been delayed if they hadn't, if the apartheid government hadn't pushed it as they did then?
Yeah, it should have been a challenge, because I think our kids were exhausted towards the education of our country. And what is important is that it was due, irrespective of when, it was due. It was like a bomb
waiting to explode.
What I think, the moment was right, but the continuity of this struggle, because that is where the challenge begins. Because I'm looking at how the future generation is adopting to the system, whether they are going further with education or they depend on the government. And now the government is utilizing that to make sure that our kids are suffering at the moment.
Yeah, quite, you're spot on there, Brakeni. Now, what would be your answer, Brakeni, to the generation of today that is saying the class of 1976, the leaders, the students of 1976, they are not coming on board enough. They are not coming to the party in terms of showing them, nurturing them, showing them how to solve their problems, how to deal with their challenges of the day as the youth of today. So in other words, they are saying the class of 76 is missing in action, like Chuck Norris, so to say. It's missing in action, like Chuck Norris. It's not there to assist them in terms of solving their today's problems and challenges. I mean, what is your take on that? Is the generation of 1976, is it spot on? Is it on board to help the young generation to solve their challenges of today?
Yeah, let's first look at our challenges. We've lost a lot of leaders in 1976.
Yeah.
Mm. And for us to move it further with the new generation is to make sure they adopt what the elderly are saying, and to make sure they support the government and the government do vice versa to them. Because if the government just lay down issues and not assist, it is better. There's nothing that's going to happen in our country. We rather go exile and go through whatever we can do outside. This is why today our country is full of foreigners, where we cannot control these foreigners. It's because they came here for greener pasture, and we are the people who are suffering.
Right.
Wow.
Well,
there you have it.
Okay.
That's Mr. Kenny Vickerman.
Thank you.
From the National School Governing Body and also the chairperson of the Alex School Governing Body.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Brakeni, for taking time to talk to us. All the best, eh?
It's my pleasure. You're more welcome.
Cheerio.
It is 10:52. If you want to make contact with us, our studio SMS line is 34519. You can telegram us on 0618951019. You can also send voice notes. You can tweet us at Chai FM or email us on air at chaifm.com. You can also call the studio on 0101 40 30 20.
Of course, still coming side by side with Howard Feldman from Chai FM, and this is Muntumbanjwa at Alex FM. And of course, thank you so much for choosing us and for staying with us. And also, thank you very much for streaming with us on Alex FM, www.alexfm.co.za. And of course, our magic studio number, by the way, it's 011-4013-96. And of course, our WhatsApp line number, 0682129281. You can engage with us. Thank you so much for joining us. In case you have just joined in, welcome it. Welcome to it. And of course, up next, we will be talking to a former school teacher and of course one of the former student leaders in Alex, an activist, and of course the veteran of the struggle, Mr. Ntate Daki Rabetse, is our guest next. And of course, still to come, King Bongane, His Majesty, still to come a little bit later on the show. And of course, we're still going to chat to, I'm not quite pretty sure whether Mama Sri Manganya will be joining us, but I'm told she's not quite feeling pretty well. And of course, Thabo Mopasi also is not coming through. I'm told he's got a bit of a flu. But of course, nevertheless, the show goes on, and we are glad to have one of the former student leaders of the uprising in 1976 and also a former school teacher, Daki Rabetse, also the veteran struggle stalwart of the Alex politics. It is 10:54. It's Alex FM coming side by side with Kai FM, Howard Feldman, and Muntu Banjwa, our host, until 12 midday.
At 10:54, we are joined in a studio by another one of the survivors at the time, a teacher in 1976. A very, very warm welcome to you, Ntata Rometsi. So you were teaching. You were teaching at which school at the time?
Thank you very much for having me here. And I was at Itute. Mm-hmm. In 1976, as a very young teacher, of course, because I was only 26.
Well, you're still young now, so therefore you must have been a child.
Yeah.
not at all.
So you were a young teacher at the time.
Yes.
It must have been a very difficult situation, because here you obviously identify with this, how important the struggle is.
Yes.
You're trying to protect the safety of your the children.
Yes.
In your care. How did you balance? How do you manage that?
You see, we as teachers then, you know, we had to make an indirect defiance decision.
Yeah.
In the sense that we would go to school, but would not force the children to come to school.
Right.
Because remember, by then, the apartheid government, you know, used to say, we are the instigators, that's why children don't listen, is because of us. And also, we knew prior to this that something was going to explode. Especially in Alex, and also in Soweto, I'm quite aware, that there was this issue of dividing schools according to ethnicity. You see that? And when the late Dr. Motane, the late Archbishop Tutu and the others in Soweto were going to Pretoria to say, hey, this thing of dividing schools according to ethnicity will not work. In Alexandra, we had the late Reverend Sambuti, the late Makubiri, the late Jimmy Butelezi, you know, the whole six of them. Also, making the same thing, because now our school, for instance, the school that I was teaching at, it was a Southern Soto school and Nguni Soto as well. But now it was going to be divided into a Xhosa school. And we had no Xhosa school then, you see. And the same as Bovet was going to be changed into a Venda school, because there were no Vendas, and the Tsonga school that was there was supposed, we were going to be taken somewhere. So that's why I'm saying, by then, you know, we smelled a rat, but we did not know what type of a rat is it that it's stinking.
Hold that thought. We'll be back straight after this.
The racial policy of the South African government is called apartheid. It means separate development and is an Afrikaans word. Those who support this policy say that separate development is the best way to preserve the traditions and cultures of each of the ethnic groups in South Africa. This is how Dr. Verwoerd, when Prime Minister, justified apartheid on moral grounds in 1960.
While the white man, as in the past, will remain the ruler over white South Africa as it develops out of this union of ours, he, as the guardian of the black man, will see to it that his development does take place in such a fashion that the black masses, as they become free, do really become free. We will not force independence from outside and from above. We will build up their democratic freedom from the bottom upwards, so that as freedom is obtained, the masses will be right.
This is Community Connect with Alex FM and Chai FM. One community, one soul.
Who lived in peace? champion. It was huge, it was angry, it was drawing near.
About to go 11 o'clock. What do you think when you hear Verwoerd's horrific words? What is it? I mean, do you shake your head and think, what an idiot? Or does it make you angry because it's so evil as well as stupid?
It does, indeed. Makes me angry, even up till today.
Yeah.
Because we know for the fact that Hendrik Verwoerd was the godfather,
the architect
of apartheid. Apartheid, which is something that was never, it's something that was never created by the supreme being higher up there. Apartheid was something that was never created by God, but was created by human.
Mm.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.